we have this really big holiday week on us, and it's here. In fact, we just got out three turkeys out of the freezer last night. Mickey Dixon gave us the tip of the sale at Food Lion, and I told Mary, she jumped right on it. And so we've got one for us, and I think two for that we're doing for Hannah's Haven, which is a ministry to women coming out of addiction in Guilford County. And so that's a lot of food. I'm reminded of what Kevin James says about Thanksgiving. He says, "Thanksgiving, man, that's not a good day to be in my pants." I love Thanksgiving. I love poultry. I love Chick-fil-A. I really like Chick-fil-A. I like the whole package. I like just about everything they do. The service, right? I mean, Chick-fil-A, if you're going to go to fast food, the service, I mean, come on. The service is wonderful. The waffle fries, I got to tell you, they've replaced on my top 10 list of French fries. McDonald's fries are now number two. Waffle fries, man, that's where it's at. Just more of a hearty bite, right, to a waffle fry. The sandwich, I like the sandwich. And one thing I like about Chick-fil-A is the advertising, because, you know, eat more chicken. Everyone knows what that means. That means, yeah, go to Chick-fil-A, right? If you're going to eat more chicken, go to Chick-fil-A. And all you really need, you don't even need the Chick-fil-A logo. You just need the black and white cows and their painted signs. You know, eat more chicken. I was thinking, what would happen to Thanksgiving if the turkeys caught on to that? And I saw this cartoon. I think I got my answer. There's this visually impaired farmer walking through the barnyard with an axe, trying to find the holiday bird. And that's self-explanatory, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Well, what would happen to Thanksgiving if the turkeys caught on? So the cows, I mean, I know this is kind of odd, Pastor, your mind is really in a weird place today. But I think the cows are taking responsibility, you know, that's the humor behind it. The cows are taking responsibility for their destiny. And the turkeys are too. What if you took responsibility for your destiny? What if you took responsibility for your Thanksgiving? And that's what I want to look at today. Not the day, right? Not the day. The outlook. The outlook and perspective on life. And so verse 20 of Ephesians 5 represents a way to live that I want to look at for a minute. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, giving thanks is a way of orienting life. My life, it's my responsibility to do this, of orienting my life around the gratitude that I should have to the Father through His Son Jesus. And this is actually describes, if you look at verse 20, it actually describes what is being said at the end of verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. The idea of being filled with the Spirit is expressed in this way, I'm giving thanks to the Father. The outflow of a spirit-filled life is giving thanks to the Father, living a life of gratitude to the Father. So what I want us to look at this morning is that you and I are responsible for living in a spirit of thanksgiving. You and I. Now you might think, but wait a minute, don't people have to do things for me to be thankful for what they've done? Doesn't God have to do some things that I can't do for myself? Absolutely. But the purpose of God doing that is that you would live a very specific kind of a life, and that life would involve a life of being thankful. And it is so connected to what it means to be filled with the Spirit. I want to look at that. So look at verse 15, and let's look at this expression, be filled with the Spirit. The word that's used here, one word, we have two words, be filled. The word essentially It's very important to understand, and it's not to be a language lesson, but there's some things about this word that you need to understand. Three things. You need to understand the mood in which it's spoken, the mood. In other words, this is a command. This is the kind of word that comes with the pointed finger. It's imperative. You must do this. You must be filled with the Spirit. Then just as though it were a suggestion, it's not just a suggestion. It's not just an option among a whole lot of denominational Christianity, all right? It's about something that God specifically wants to happen in your life so much that when the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this letter to the Ephesian church, it came with this power, this direction, this determination, this specificity. Be filled. That's the idea. Now, another thing about this particular word, it's the voice in which it's spoken. I don't mean like, you know, did Paul have a Mickey Mouse voice, or did he have like a deep, you know, radio voice? I don't know. That's not even what we're talking about. We're talking about the voice of the verb. It's in the passive voice, which means that that this is something that's happening to you, right? And what's weird about this is a command, something that needs to happen. You need to be about this, but it's something that must happen to you. And so it's a passive tense. Something is being done for you. Something is doing this for you. In other words, you need to allow it, but it's being done to you. So it comes across this way. Let yourself be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then a third thing about this word, and just bear with me, is I think the most significant thing about it, it's the tense. Everybody knows verb tenses, right? Even if you don't know verb tenses, you know verb tenses. Like, okay, if I drove to church this morning, that's past tense, isn't it? I drove to church, right? I drove to church. But, you know, a couple hours ago, or maybe an hour ago, when you were on your way, you wouldn't say this, your spouse might think you're nuts, but you might look at them, I'm driving to church. Well, I know you're driving to church. How else do you think we're getting here? That's present tense, right? I'm driving to church. Last night, as you were thinking about maybe, you know, what your day was going to look like, we need to go visit someone. We need to stop by the grocery store at some point tomorrow. But we'll do that after, right? Because in the morning, I'm going to drive to church, right? That's future tense. Now, what does this all mean? Well, here, this is a tense that we really don't have this tense in English, the way that it's written in biblical Greek. This tense is not just, okay, you know that if you were driving to church this morning, at some point you're going to stop driving to church, right? Hopefully. Hopefully you're not just, you know, wheeling around the parking lot, you know. I'm driving to church. And we're here, but I'm still driving, right? That's not the... We don't say that, and it's hard for us to get this. This is the sense that there's something that's happening to you that is in a continuum. All right? It's a continuum. In other words, let this continually happen to your life. Let this continually be a reality in your life. You're always living in the present every moment. Be filled with the Spirit. And here, remember the pointed finger. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled all the time. Live in the continual reality of the Spirit's fullness. And this is important if you understand this. In the spirit of this text, you understand that it's more important that you're living this now than just thinking about something that happened to you previously. I was filled with the Holy Spirit at camp. I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I turned 23. I was filled with the Holy Spirit that service in that church. I was filled with the Holy Spirit when we attended these special meetings. But that's not as important as you being filled with the Holy Spirit now, because the priority in verse 18 is now. You be filled now. And I would say this is more significant than just thinking, you know, at some point I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking about this conference that we're going to later in the year. I'm thinking about this event that's going to happen. And I'm looking for renewal in my life. And that's great. Keep looking for that. But it's much more important that you accept the responsibility now of being filled with the Spirit now. And not just waiting, but living in the reality now. So that's what's being said in verse 18, this expression, be filled with the Spirit. Now the passage talks to us not just about the need to be filled with the Spirit, but it also puts kind of a frame of understanding how to live in this present, continual reality of the Spirit's fullness, allowing the Spirit to fill your life. And it's beautifully simplistic. It doesn't have any religious baggage. It's practical. It's functional. You could take notes on this today. You know, this is not one of the pastor's ideas. It's kind of, ooh, it's way out there. Sounds, I don't know how to write it down, though. What does he say? What am I supposed to do? Well, I'll tell you how to do it. And one thing is true. There's a lot of things you could be doing today. But around this verse, there's a priority of actually doing this. Be filled with the Spirit. And so that's what begins to unfold in the verses surround it. Now that seems too easy, but it shouldn't surprise us, because I think God has full provision for you to fully live in what he wants to accomplish in your life. No one here sitting in this room today should ever say, well, that sounds great, but I don't think that's for me. It's absolutely for you. So how do we remain filled with the Holy Spirit continually? Well, jump back to verse 15, and there's a couple of phrases I want you to see, and we'll break them down and get right into it. How to remain filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Now, you might have a different wording of that, but that's the first phrase of verse 15. The second one is this, not as fools but as wise. And then verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So verse 15, 16, 17, this comprises the how. How do I live in the Spirit's fullness? Again, verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise. The next thing, redeem time, the days are evil. Literally what that means is to capture every opportunity. All right, capture every opportunity, make the most of every opportunity. And then verse 17 says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And everyone in this room, I could ask you, what is one of the most important things that you need to understand in life is what? What is it that God wants to do in my life? What does he want me to do? What is the will of the Lord? And then comes the fourth thing in verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is dissipation. And let's talk about these. The first one, see that you walk circumspectly. In verse 15, the simple definition here is just keep aware of what's going on around you. Be of a thoughtful, rational, clear mind about what's happening in your world. Now, what this doesn't mean is kind of lose your head about it, right? It doesn't mean go off the rails and go nuts, right? That's not what it means. It means to look at life, be aware of what's happening, and if you just look at the word circumspectly, circum means what? Around, all right? Around, walking around. Spectly, at least the Latin word here, means looking. I'm walking around, I'm looking. So the idea is that in life, you're looking at life clearly. You're looking at what's happening, and you're not freaking out about it. You're walking around and seeing it with clear eyes, but you're a person that is living in the fullness of the Spirit, and what's happening, God is helping you relate to what's happening around you. Now you say, well, yeah. Well, let me ask you what that looks like when things begin to rain down hard in your life, right? Look at it. Know that these are things the Lord promised would happen. Listen, I can tell you just in the last 3 years of my life, there are things that have happened in our world I never thought would happen. The way people view traditional things that we learned about growing up, about what gender was and what marriage was supposed to be. And listen, it's going haywire. it goes as far outside of truth as the next newspaper article can print it. And you have to be wise about it. So he says, look around, see what's happening, be sensitive to what's going on, think clearly about it. And the Bible says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What does that mean? The fool says in his heart, there's no God. The whole purpose of Proverbs was saying, get wisdom. What does that mean? Listen to the Lord. All right, listen to the Lord. So be wise. Then look at verse 16. Again, the idea of redeeming the time means capturing every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. And the word evil here is not just a sense of something sinful, as much as it has to do with the days are filled with many cares, loaded with problems. And it's what it means to live in a fallen world. There are things that are happening in a world that's a prodigal planet away from God. And so Paul would say, live with responsibility. Make the most of every opportunity. Redeem the time. A lot of Christians fret and fear of what's happening in the world. We run around thinking it's never going to get any worse than this. And I got to tell you, yes, it can. And it will. Right? But don't lose your head about it. Think about it clearly. Think about the relation of God's word in your life and what God is wanting to do in you. In spite of what's happening in the world, listen, if the world goes crooked, you stay straight. And as the presence of the Holy Spirit lives in you, it allows for moving in life in the way that God would want you to live it. And then if you look at verse 17, being filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit gives wisdom. It says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. There's the definition of wisdom. Me living wisely is knowing what God wants. And the only way for that to happen in your life is to keep your life filled with His truth. Now, you're responsible for living in a spirit of thanksgiving. You're responsible for living a life filled with the Spirit. Break it down. You're responsible for living a life of wisdom. You're responsible for keeping your life and your eyes on truth. And so we come to the fourth issue here in verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. Now the word dissipation here, it's important to understand the passage. It's a very striking word. It's actually used in the story in Luke 15 of the prodigal son. And if you read that verse, it tells the story of the young man who thought, you know, life for me on my own is better than being a son in my father's house. He goes to his father. He asks for his inheritance. His father gives it to him. And he leaves. And what does he do? You remember what he does with what the father's the inheritance? The verse says, where we get the word prodigal. He wasted it on riotous living. Or he wasted it on prodigal living. You might have that translation. And that's the same word there that's used for dissipation. It means to come to ruin. To come to ruin. So here the expression, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. The idea is you don't get your jollies, don't get your thrill in life, don't get your turn on from the world by doing things the way the world does. Okay, now there's another issue here, and it's simply not the matter of what kind of things you use to get excitement in life. It specifically speaks about alcohol. And, you know, there's a couple ways, you know, spiritual leadership and reading your Bible can go on this. We can go into this teetotalism and condemn everybody for doing anything. Or you can look at it in a sense of balance. And I'm going to tell you here, I am a teetotaler. All right. There was only one time that I ever took a drink, and it was, believe it or not, on a missions trip. And I was hosting a team, and we go to a nice resort, and we tell everybody when you go to the resort, because we don't allow alcohol on mission trip teams, you're going to this resort for the beach day, and it's nice, you're going to have a great time, but when you go, all right, you can have anything there. You can go eat as much as you want. You can, everything's included. And you can go get any kind of drink. Just make sure that you say, if you ask for, you know, the virgin daiquiri or the virgin pina colada, make sure you say, pina colada nada. Right? Or just say no alcohol, right? Now, I know I said that because I've been saying it for over 23 years now on mission trips. And but I got my pina colada. I went back down to the beach, and that was not a pina colada nada. And, you know, just so I wouldn't feel bad about myself, I asked another person on the team, I said, who probably had experience in their past with it. I said, I don't think this is what I asked for. Will you taste this? And this is a wonderful lady, great testimony. But in her past, she was a bartender, and she said, yeah, Bruce, that's not a pina colada nada. I tell you this is because I'm never going to condemn anyone for taking a drink short of drunkenness. The issue here is drunkenness. The issue here is what do you do in life to get your stimulation? I will tell you this. You are going to decide what you do about alcohol. That's what the verse brings us to. And if you look at the comparison between taking in alcohol to the point of drunkenness and walking in relationship with God, where is the priority? Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. What does that imply? It means let the presence of God completely fill every space in your life. And short of that, you listen, short of that is less than what God desires for you. People say, yep, Jesus drank wine? Yeah, he did. We won't get into that this morning. I don't have time. But it's there. And isn't that Christian? Because the Bible says, all right, just don't get drunk with wine. Well, let's think of the reasons. There are basically three reasons why people drink. All right? Three reasons. One is they drink because they're absolutely depressed and they wish there was a way of escape. Is that true? That is true. I just want to escape the feeling. Other people drink because they're looking for a good time. Is that true? It is. Sure it is. Don't be so sanctified. I don't know. Of course you know. And then there are people that drink because they figure this is just a way of, not a matter of so much of a good time. It's a good lift to the end of the day. Is that true? Sure. Yeah, go home. Been a hectic day at work. Take a little sip. Okay, so they're tired, they're weary, so they look to drink alcohol for something refreshing or for an escape or for kicks. And the Bible says, all right, be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled in the bottle because what you're going to do, you're going to end up wasting if you do. Drunkenness brings you to a place of ruin. It brings you to a place where life falls apart. Right? So be filled with the Spirit. So what does that say about the middle ground? Again, that's something you got to decide. That's something you have to decide. Now use wisdom. Don't do it foolishly. And really the beautiful alternative to that is if you're in a depression, if you're going to get in a place where you're low, I'll tell you something, the Lord can do a lot more for you at the end of the day than anything else. Anything else. Anything else. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. If you're feeling weak, if your day's been hard, be filled with the Spirit. If you're walking through difficulty, if you're facing things that just don't make sense, you know, I've always wondered about that one. I need a drink. Life is just not making any sense. Let me tell you, if you keep drinking, it's not going to make a whole lot more sense either. You know, there's some people here and they're thinking, boy, I've been waiting for pastor to preach on this for 20 years. Here you go. Be filled with the Spirit. That's the point here. Be filled with the Spirit. Go to God. Go to God for your joy. Go to God for something that stimulates life. Right? How? All right, look at verse 18. Verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. And then verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. There's another translation that says, sing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Living in the fullness of the Spirit. Now hear me. There's a strong connection to how you express who God is in your life. Verse 19 is about worship. Verse 19 is about the way the Word of God comes into your life and flows out of your life. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make melody in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in the same thing, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The idea is that in relationship with others, you're communicating the fullness of the Spirit in you, and you're also receiving of their experience in the Spirit that builds you up. That's the idea. Now together, what we do is we sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And in times when we're alone, we should be singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Now, if you're thinking, well, what are these songs here? The word psalms, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, psalms are simply a rephrasing of Scripture, or maybe a complete quotation of Scripture set to music. Hymns, we sang this morning, beautiful hymns, and not just one. And not just two. We actually sang three hymns this morning. Three hymns. I'm going to let you go back and rehearse the list, but I know you know two of them. But the first song we sang this morning is a hymn. It's a statement, now it's contemporary, but it's a statement of declaring things about God. Our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. So hymns are statements about God set to music. Psalms are the Scripture that's set to music, or a phrasing of Scripture. Spiritual songs are a little different. Spiritual songs flow out of personal experience. Spiritual songs are what the Bible describes as 1 Corinthians 14. Paul says this. He says, what is the conclusion? Then I'll pray with the Spirit, I'll also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, I will also sing with the understanding. And what he means there is there's a dimension of the Spirit of God filling your life and bringing out the expression of praise that sometimes comes in a language that's not your own. Sometimes it's prophetic. Sometimes it's in wisdom. Sometimes it's in knowledge. And in that experience of the Lord's presence in your life and the infilling of the Spirit, there's the prompting of words of praise that begin to flow, and they're not set to a straight melody or a straight piece of music. It's something that's flowing out of your own experience. The point is that in the fullness of the Spirit, you have to take responsibility for living in a spirit of thanksgiving. Well, I had an opportunity to hear Ted Cunningham, who pastors in Branson, Missouri. He has a wonderful ministry, not only in his church, but he ministers to pastors all over the world. Talks about spiritual health, importance of healthy families. And he demonstrated this, and I thought, you know, this would be perfect, because I knew this message was coming, but this would be perfect for something I wanted to share with you. Now, he would call this the love jug. This is you, or this is me. I'll just, you know what, I won't put this on you, I'll put it on me, right? You're responsible for your spirituality. I am responsible for my spiritual life. All right? I'm not looking to anyone else to fill me up. I'm not looking to anyone else to make sure I have a good day. I'm not looking to anyone else to make sure that I'm living spiritually healthy. I'm looking to God. It's me and God. And be filled with the Spirit. That's what Paul says. But in life, I've got relationships with people. And in my life, I'm thinking that all I have to give is all that I've been filled up to give. This is me. And out of my life, I can speak to others in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I can speak to God in my own time of worship, but it's me and God, and the only infilling in my life comes from God. The only health in my life comes from what God puts in me through the fullness of His Spirit. But I do have relationships like my wife. And so, you know, in the morning, actually, I need to wait till after 10. Because Mary's not a morning person. But you know, I'm calling her. How's your things going the other day? Did you hear? Did you get those appointments scheduled? Did you ever follow through on the thing you had with the district? Yeah, Rachel's got that appointment. I can help you on that, you know. Darling, have a great day. I love you. So I fill up my life. And of course, Rachel. I don't know why you think this is funny, but almost every day, there's two things that are really important to me, and I've been doing this since Rachel was taking lunch to school. I make her lunch, and part of it's selfishness, and part of it is I want to impact her life every day in some way. And so when I'm making her lunch to take to school, you know, I'm kidding with her, and right, she's not much of a morning person either, but she has to get up, you know. So, and darling, I love you. I want you to have a good day at school today. Remember that you have so much potential, and you know, you're always going to be daddy's little girl, and I want you to know you can always talk to me. You know me, darling. I need a bigger glass. And then, you know, I go back to Mary after 10 a.m. Mary, thank you that, you know, you chose me and we have Rachel together. Such a beautiful thing. And then I have workout with Brent Conklin at the gym. When he shows up, go to lunch every once in a while with Mike Moore, Chris Nelson, others, you know, had lunch with Chad and Connie on Thursday. I have relationships outside of my family, and I just want to fill you guys up. You're mighty in God. God has purpose in your life. He wants to work in you. He wants to work in your family. I want to teach you truth. I want to bring the Word into your life. Now, what's happening? All right? It's getting a little low, isn't it? What needs to happen? Well, I need to come back into the Lord's presence. Right? Because it's a continual thing. I just can't give out and not go back to where life is happening for me. You know, I have a father-in-law and parents. I love them. You know what? I want to... They're at a place in life where they got some health issues. My mom and dad are retired. I never see them anymore. But Mary's dad, Frank, he's had some health issues, but I just love him. The thing about Mary's mom and dad is they adopted her when she was just a few days old. She was born in 1970 in Miami, Florida. Listen, in Miami, Florida in 1970, you could get an abortion anywhere, and she was born to a Jewish father and a Catholic mother. And I'm always grateful to Frank and Joyce. So I really, you know, when I speak to Frank, I try to think, how can I encourage this man who I have a great debt to? I want to, and then my mother-in-law. Yeah. So you... You've got to take responsibility for your spiritual life. You've got to take responsibility for the fullness of the Spirit. Does it have to happen to you? Does God have to make that happen? Yeah, He does. But don't be passive about it in the sense that it can happen anytime, you know, it's convenient. How many realize that life is not convenient? And the infilling of God's presence in your life is a continual pursuit, a continual desire. So it's your responsibility to live in the spirit of thanksgiving. Would you stand with me?